Rainmaker FM.
This podcast is brought to you by copyblogger.com. Words that work. Build your online authority with powerfully effective content marketing. Get superior content marketing education so you can build a remarkable online presence. Head over to copyblogger.com to learn more. That's copyblogger.com. Hey everybody, it is so good to see you again. Welcome back to Copyblogger FM, the content marketing podcast. Copyblogger FM is about emerging content marketing trends, interesting disasters, and enduring best practices, along with the occasional rant. My name is Sonia Simone, and I'm a co-founder and the chief content officer for Copyblogger Media. I also share more writing and a complete archived podcast at remarkable-communication.com. And I am so pleased today to be here with Tim Brownson. Tim, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, thanks.
Super, super. You are really part of our ecosystem, and yet I feel like a lot of our audience doesn't know you yet. So I'm just going to kind of leave it open to you and let people know you are a long, long time coach, and that's a big part of your identity. But I thought it would be interesting to let people know what you're working on these days.
Yeah, I mean, I still do a little bit of coaching with traditional clients, but I've been doing that for 14 years. When people didn't know what coaching was, and when you told them what you were, they said, oh, that's interesting, rather than scowl at you. It happens now. But over the last sort of 6 or 7 years, I had more and more coaches coming to me to basically to do what I was doing online with my blog and sort of building a newsletter list and what have you. And I kind of drifted into working with coaches, and I found I really enjoy it because with coaching, you know, it's all about asking questions. That's pretty much it. You're not there to advise people. That's, you know, one of the myths about coaching. But when I'm working with the coaches, I can advise them because, you know, there's certain things that don't work and certain things that do work. So these days, probably at the moment, 90% of my clients are actually other coaches.
Very cool. That's really cool. Well, you and I kind of reconnected because you have a new book out, and it's a topic super near and dear to my heart, which I think is probably why you sent me a note on Facebook. Yeah. It's called The Clarity Method, and I guess let's kick off by just, what was it that led you to write this book? You have quite a few books out. What was it that called you to write this one?
Well, just core values. If I go back and look at my time in coaching with traditional clients, The session that I would do on core values, helping a client understand the core values, was just the most important session. It wasn't even close by a long, long way. It gave me more breakthroughs with clients. So about the very least they ever got from it was being able to coach them better because I understood what was driving and motivated them. But sometimes they were getting just huge breakthroughs in terms of understanding what makes them tick, because, you know, a lot of people think with coaching it's all about goal setting and that, and it can be, although I never really did much of that, but it's no good setting goals if they're not the right goals, if they're not in alignment with your values, because that's the thing that really is going to motivate you and drive you and just keep you going when the times are tough.
Yeah, and I have recorded a couple of podcast episodes, I've written on the blog multiple times about this importance of kind of finding and then really reminding yourself of your own core values as a person to inform, you know, not just who you are as a business owner, but a parent and a human being and a friend and all these things. Do you want to talk for people who might not have tuned into some of those conversations? When you say core values, what are the kind of things you're talking about? And maybe even touch on, like, how do we know what those are for ourselves?
Core values are things like freedom, peace, love. I wouldn't say happiness because everybody wants to be happy. But we've all got that. I believe that to be about 120 to 140 core values. Some people disagree with me on that, and that's fine. We can't both be right. But they take a specific order. So they've actually done research on co-joined twins with values. And they even have different values because we accrue them through just every single circumstance that's happened in our life impacts on our core values. So they develop over a period of time. As we get older, they tend not to move so much. So it's kind of important to know the hierarchy. You're never going to nail it because there's always going to be things that are contextual. And so, but to get the audience close as you can, so that, you know, if I've got a number one value of family, for example, and my number two value is adventure, and my number three value is freedom, and I get the opportunity to go backpacking around the world for 12 months or whatever, the you've got conflict there. Because, you know, and I've got, you know, family and kids and a mortgage and what have you, because that's the number one value. And it's really, if you start compromising your values like that, it's going to end up in tears.
Yeah, and I work on my values quite a bit, at least I would say every few weeks I kind of sit down and noodle around with them. And I find it's surprisingly tricky to narrow them down, you know, so you're starting to, you have like 8 or 9 or 10 and you can't. You're not really focused. I try and get them to 3. I find that wrestling that fourth one, pinning that sucker down is like.
Yeah. And also, because I do 8 when I'm working with clients. I will allow them to go a bit further than that, but just take the process, just takes a bit longer. And people have this belief that it's like, oh, I can't believe that's my bottom value. And it's like, no,
right.
It's number 8 out of, you know, 100, 120 or how it's still super important. But yeah, I know some people, I know coaches that do actually work, focus on 3. I just found that it just didn't give me enough leeway because if you've got a problem that you're dealing with the client and it's not clear from those top 3, pretty much everything, the values impact everything with struggles in our life. So that's why I prefer to go further down and 8, even 10 sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. I first heard about some of the research on values and on working consciously with them instead of just, you know, being the kind of person who says I'm all about peace, love, and understanding. Mm-hmm. I first read about them in Kelly McGonigal's book, The Upside of Stress, which is a great book.
Brilliant book.
Yeah, super, super excellent book. And it was startling to me how there's a lot of research done on they call them, I think, self-affirmations, is that right? Which is different from like, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, people like me. But it's affirming your own values.
Right.
There's a ton of research on it. Like, I was really surprised to see how much they've done.
Yes, there is. I don't know if you've read Robert Cialdini's latest book, Persuasion.
Absolutely.
He talks about them as well. And the interesting research that he talks about is that with businesses using them, because if you allow, so I worked in sales for 20 years, and one of the reasons I had to get out of sales was integrity is super important to me. And when you're working with big sales organizations, the really big guys, there's not a fat lot of integrity. And what we found out was that if you ask people to blur the edges of what's moral or ethical or whatever when they sell in to get the deal, you can't compartmentalize that. Then they'll start blurring the edges with the expense account or taking days off sick when they're not really sick. You know, you can't have it both ways. And it's interesting to me that you see companies like Zappos are probably the best example, where they've actually installed the values and are actually living the values rather than just shoving them up on the website to look nice. And just to see how successful they are, that you can do it. You don't need to be screwing people over in business to be successful.
Yeah, I wrote about Persuasion when it came out, and that's another terrific read. So so you guys know, if you swing by copyblogger.fm and look for the episode called The Clarity Method, I will give you links to the books that we're mentioning, to Tim's book, and we also have a cool giveaway for you at the end of the episode. So keep that in mind. Let's dig a little bit. So values are, you know, the big ideas. You know, kindness is always in my top 3. Mastery is always in my top 3. Like, I like to be good at things. It makes me, right. It's just really important to me to be good at stuff. I know humor is one of yours. Do I remember that right?
Yes, it is. Yes. Do you have something? I'll just say something about kindness, because I used to love seeing kindness in values from clients when I was working with them. Because the one thing you got to remember with them, they cut both ways. You can't have kindness as a value, treat people with kindness, but not treat yourself. Mm. So it's almost like anything you can say can will be used in evidence against you. If kindness is super important, you can't be beating yourself up if you have a bad day or something goes wrong or whatever.
Yeah, and it's I recorded an episode recently about the business value of being naive. I wrote a blog post about this as well. You know, when I was an employee, I was constantly being patted on the head by psychopath CEOs and told I was too nice to be in business and, you know, I had no head for it. And I just kind of made a decision that there's 7 billion people in the world. The internet is a big place. You can make a business around anything you want. You really can. You can make a business. You make up your own rules, you know, while obeying all laws and ethical constraints. Yeah. And so I think that values really dovetails with that. So if your value is, let's say your values are family, adventure, and freedom, then if I were you, I would start a business you can run, you know, digitally. So you can take take your family on a digital nomad thing. And, you know, which Brian Clark did about a year ago and, you know, went to Australia and Japan and all kinds of places. So I think values are really beneficial to help us figure out. I mean, we're not running, most of us are not running Coca-Cola. We're not running, you know, Amazon. We have nimble, smaller businesses for the most part, the folks who are on this podcast, whether our day job or our, you know, our full-time business. Let those values inform what you want the shape of that business to be. And I think that's a super important value of that kind of exercise.
Yeah. And that with the book, that's one of the things that, because the book was actually originally published called Aligning with Your Core Values about 7 or 8 years ago. It's been probably 70% of it has been rewritten. But one of the things that I wanted to, one of the hopes for it was that it would be used by people in the workplace, by managers, so they could understand what motivates the people that they're trying to manage, by business owners when they start. And you do all this stuff at the beginning, and it's the foundation. You think, okay, once we've got our values, then that allows us to make decisions that are more likely to be correct as you start to scale the business. So I just think that, yeah, I think that's super, super important.
Yeah. Now, I thought it was an interesting point in your book, and it was very interesting for me to read because I coach something that's kind of possibly the opposite of what you coach, but maybe not, which is I have definitely talked to people about who considers one of their values to be security. And I have even told people, like, it seems to me like one of your values is safety and security and knowing you're going to be okay. Maybe that should be on your list, but you don't quite see it as a value. Is that right?
Yeah, I go back and forth on it, to be honest with you, Sonia. The reason why I don't see it as a value, security or stability, is because they're not attainable. You can't ever be secure. But, you know, we all get sick. We all, you know, lose jobs. We all, you know, relationships break down or whatever. The security just doesn't exist in nature. It's just a man-made construct. So the danger of having that as a value is you're never going to really achieve it because there's always going to be something down the road. I had a fantastic year in 2017, and then in 2018 I've had a couple of health things, just nothing major, but stuff that just knocked me off course a little bit. So I think it's been okay that you can't really achieve that. If people are striving after that all the time, then they're probably going to end up disappointed more often than not.
Yeah. I think the way that I have coached it and talked about it with clients, because, I mean, that's a really, really good point. It's like there is, I mean, you know, life is 100% fatal. So that's an issue. The thing that I have talked with clients about is to try and counter this idea in especially the American business press that being like a foolhardy risk taker is some kind of requirement or badge of honor.
Yeah.
And it just makes people do stupid things that there's no reason to do. It's a stupid thing. You don't have to just go out there, you know, taking risks, taking especially uninformed risks, blind risks, is just dumb.
Yes.
So I think that my coaching has been to kind of counter that idea, but is it a value or not? Yeah. I mean, I think it's an interesting question to kind of go back and forth.
And Joe, you've touched on a point there in the coaching industry as a whole. I do have issues with the coaching industry because it's totally unregulated. The amount of people that are just swarming into it that don't get proper training and so on and so forth. There's too much store put in this that if you want something badly enough, you can get it. And people should just dive in and if they believe strong enough that they can achieve it. And that's, you know, it's just simply not the case. You know, we hear those great stories about people that have done amazing things. But we don't hear of the tens of thousands of other people that tried to do great things and didn't achieve it. And that's not to be a dream crusher for anybody, but it's to sort of piggyback on what you were saying, which is, you know, think this through and don't just go blindly in.
Yeah, I had a friend who started a business venture, and he didn't have, this was years ago, he didn't have really anything pinned down. And he kept saying, you know, leap and the net will appear. Well, you know, leap and the floor will appear is how that actually works. Yeah. It is not true. And we're going to have Unfollow Monday here because I'm going to say something that a bunch of people unsubscribe to the podcast.
Fantastic.
I have a giant problem with the law of attraction.
Oh, please don't take me down the law of attraction.
And here's the thing. One of my core values, it comes up for me again and again and again. I don't know what a word for it would be, but it's very important for me that advice be based in evidence and not just in wishful thinking or magical thinking. Mm-hmm. And I do think it's very easy to perceive the law of attraction as a real thing because of that. You know, we notice what we focus on. So there was an interesting study that lucky people see things. They gave them a newspaper with a giant coupon on it saying, you can stop looking at the newspaper now, it's right here. And the lucky people saw it. And the people who self-identified as unlucky had to crawl through the newspaper and look for this, you know, one letter that they were looking for. So that's law of attraction, I think, you know, is if you expect to see it, you're more likely to see it. But it didn't just materialize like out of the TARDIS and, you know.
Right. And we don't need a law to explain that. We can explain that with just normal physics. And I totally agree. The law of attraction drives me nuts because I just know so many law of attraction experts and some manifesting, you know, experts that have manifested themselves out of a business.
Right.
I have ranted about that a lot on my blog because the thing is, we want it to be true. It's one of those things where wouldn't it be great if you could just change your focus or whatever? But it's just like, so all these people that are making it work in the US, you know, my comment to them is nearly always go to the Ivory Coast or Chad and teach it to the people over there because they clearly don't get the law of attraction.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, you and I are right there on the same page. Sure. You know, it's also the huge number of people who, you know, enjoy success, which is great, and have had their challenges, which, you know, we have challenges, but completely somehow miss the huge number of advantages, including just growing up, you know, where you can go to public school and we have internet in every library in the United States, as far as I know. And, you know, there's stuff we have, we just stop seeing. But we're very, very fortunate. So, all right. Well, this is good. You and I could just rant about things kind of for the rest of the hour. But
and I like ranting. Yeah, I had a conversation this morning, Sonia, in my Facebook group for coaches. And I was talking about newsletters and people, somebody got some negative feedback. I said, you have to block it out. Well, listen to it. Hear what they say. Does that fit with what you're trying to do? And does it sound sensible? If not, just ignore it, because otherwise you end up writing for other people. And this comes back to the values as well, because one of my values is integrity. And I've just got this deep fear. If we met for a beer or a coffee or whatever, you would walk away going, God, he's exactly like I thought he would. And so many people in the coaching industry, they try to pretend to be somebody else. And that's not in alignment with your values, because nobody has a value in being inauthentic.
Yeah, I consider it one of the greatest compliments if somebody meets me at a live event to say, you're just the way I thought you would be. That always makes me feel really good. Yeah. All right. Well, I do want people to pick up the book. It's a really good kind of a little manifesto and how to, and walk you through this process of understanding what your values are, using them to drive what you're doing, really using them to think about what you do and how you're arranging things in your life. It is called The Clarity Method. And we were going to do a little giveaway, yeah?
Yes. Yeah, let's put up three copies of the book.
Sweet.
I'll tell you what, Sonia, if they're in the US, I'll send, if they prefer to have a hard copy, I'll send them a hard copy. If they're overseas, you're on your own. It costs me about $15 to send them
Yeah. And if you prefer Kindle, we can get you a Kindle as well, either way. So if you want to sign up for a free copy of Tim's book, The Clarity Method, leave a comment. So go to copyblogger.fm, look for the episode called The Clarity Method, and you can leave any comment. If it's rude, it's going to get deleted and you won't count, but you guys are not going to leave me rude comments because you're good guys. In a perfect world, you would let us know one or two or five or eight of your own core values. Just use this as an opportunity to sit down for a second and think, what are those values? Is it freedom? Is it integrity? Is it kindness? Is it, you know, mastery? Or something else that's really important to you. So copyblogger.fm is where you find the podcast. Look for the episode, The Clarity Method. It is August 2019. So if you're listening to this, you know, more than 6 months from now, you're probably not going to get a book. But but you should still pick up the book and buy it and read it because it's really excellent. All right, Tim, where can people find you? Where can people kind of connect with you, find out more about you?
I mostly hang out at CoachTheLifeCoach.com these days. I do have a private practice, but like I say, I'm scaling that down.
Very good. Very good. And we'll put a link to that as well in the show.
Thank you.
So thanks so much. This has been a lot of fun.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you guys for your time and your attention. I never take those for granted. And this has been Tim Brownson talking about his book, The Clarity Method. Take care.